Hello, this is John Soutsos of Investment Planning Council, Senior Financial Consultant and Branch Manager in Mississauga. Today is October the 6th, 2009, and 1 year ago today, I sat down and recorded my thoughts for what was going on at that time. If you recall, the headlines were all bad, the stock markets were in free fall, the world was facing an incredible economic crisis. I'd like to bring back 1 year ago today by reading some headlines from Maclean's magazine. October the 6th, the headline reads, "Canada's Looming Real Estate Crisis," with a picture of a house on the front of the magazine. A week later, on October 13th, 2008, Maclean's magazine headline has a picture of a tattered U.S. flag, and it says, "And now for the really bad news." October 20th, 2008, Maclean's magazine has a front page headline that says, "What just happened to your retirement?" And on the front of the magazine is a piggy bank upside down, lying on its back. December 8th, 2008, Maclean's magazine cover is black. And in black lettering with a little bit of highlights, just so the letters will stand out enough, it says in bold, "How bad will it get?" The interesting thing is that aside from these headlines about the economy about a year ago in Maclean's magazine, previous Maclean's covers focused primarily on Canadian politics and other matters. It is only when things become extreme that magazine covers begin to reflect what's going on in the world's economy. Time magazine, October 6, 2008. Who can rescue the economy? Vote for A. McCain, B. Obama, or 3. None of the above? And the next week, October 13th, 2008, Time magazine runs an incredible cover. It has a picture of a food lineup in Chicago in 1931, men wearing hats and overcoats in damp weather with a headline, "The New Hard Times." Certainly an ominous cover, full of fear, full of uncertainty for the future. The covering article for that Time magazine cover is titled "The End of Prosperity," and the article goes on to describe how the Great Depression unfolded, what government policy mistakes that were made, failures by government to act by not injecting capital into the banking system. And now this most poignant of all articles from September 28th, Time magazine, the cover is black. At the top of the cover, in bold lettering, in gray, "Time." And in the middle, a little yellow opening, and underneath in red, bold, "The Economy." Underneath that, in white, "Is there light at the end of the tunnel?" Certainly a very scary cover for Time magazine. And the cover article for this particular issue of Time magazine is titled, "The Long Haul, the U.S. Economy." And I'd like to read you briefly from this article. If America's economic landscape seems suddenly alien and hostile to many citizens, there is good reason. They have never seen anything like it. Nothing in memory has prepared consumers for such turbulent, epochal change, the sort of upheaval that happens once in 50 years. Even the economists do not have a name for the present condition, though one has described it as suspended animation and never, never land. The outward sign of the change is an economy that stubbornly refuses to recover from the recession. In a normal rebound, Americans would be witnessing a flurry of hiring, new investment and lending, and buoyant growth. But the U.S. economy remains almost comatose, a full year and a half after the recession officially began. Unemployment is still high. Real wages are declining. At a Time Economic Forum last week, forecasters predicted that U.S. growth would amount to only 1.8% this upcoming year and 2.6% the year after, for about half the speed of a normal recovery. The current slump already ranks as the longest period of sustained weakness since the Great Depression. That was the last time the economy staggered under as many structural burdens as opposed to the familiar cyclical problems that create temporary recessions once or twice a decade. The structural faults, many of them legacies of previous generations, represent once-in-a-lifetime dislocations that will take years to work out. Among them, the job drought, the debt hangover, the defense industry contraction, the savings and loan collapse, the real estate depression, the healthcare cost explosion, and the runaway federal deficit. Quote, "This is a sick economy that won't respond to traditional remedies," unquote, said Norman Robertson, chief economist at Pittsburgh's Mellon Bank. Quote, "There's going to be a lot of trauma before it's over," unquote. How to fix the broken parts of the economy has not only become a central issue of the American people, but it's also likely to stand as topic A for much of the next decade. Quick fixes will not work, a point that many Americans seem to be accepting. This article I just finished reading from Time Magazine, September 28th, was not from 2008, nor was it from 2009. It was from 1992. The point has been made. All of these scary headlines sound very traumatic and disconcerting when we read them, but oftentimes they are at the point of inflection, when things are about to change. Now let's take a look at today's headlines from the magazines. Time's current headline is from October 5, The Tragedy of Detroit. From October 12 this year, The War Up Close. In other words, the economy is now off the cover. Things have changed. Maclean's magazine has gone back to political items of interest. The economy is now off the covers of the major magazines. Now let's go back to a year ago today and see where we were from an investment perspective. 1 year ago, I was telling you that based on historical experience, market crises have varied significantly in terms of the degree of decline in the stock market, anywhere from -20 to -45%. But in each instance, the market had gone on to recover over a period of time. The liquidity crisis back then, I said, was spreading globally. Yet this crisis was not unprecedented, as I described just now by reading old magazine covers. I also summarized a year ago that the last 4 years, money had been leaving the U.S. going into emerging market stocks and Canadian stocks. Oil had reached $147 earlier in the summer of 2008. The Canadian dollar had popped up to $1.10 versus the American, and investing in Canada had been a winning proposition, doubling in value since January 1st, 2000. I had also summarized that a handful of stocks, just seven, had led the way in performance in 2007, which in hindsight would have indicated that the market had been narrowing prior to this credit crisis unfolding, and therefore a decline was imminent. All of those seven stocks that led the market in 2007 in Canada collapsed dramatically in 2008, with declines ranging anywhere from 50 to 70%, and in some cases, even greater. For the 3 months ending October 3rd, 2008, the Toronto market had declined by 22%. Resource mutual funds, specialty funds had declined between 50 and 70%. China and India funds had declined 30 to 40%. In contrast, some of the widely held all-in-one portfolio solutions managed by Counsel Portfolio Management Services had cushioned the blow, with the Counsel Growth Portfolio having declined during that period just 10% and the Counsel Balance just 8%. And the tactically managed Counsel Income Managed Portfolio down just 5%. So on October the 6th, 1 year ago, the value of the Toronto Stock Exchange was 10,230. In contrast, today, Toronto Stock Exchange, as at midday, was at 11,255. That's actually an increase of 10% from a year ago. Would you have believed a year ago, listening to my message, that the market would actually be higher rather than lower a year later? The S&P 500 index, which measures 500 American companies, a year ago was at 1,056. Today, it's at 1,054, almost identical. The Dow Jones index, which measures the performance of 30 of the largest American companies, 1 year ago was at 99.55. Today, it sits at 97.27, representing a decline of just over 2%. Certainly, we did not expect back then, nor did many of you listening expect, that a year later, things would, on a relative basis, be this good. The way the headlines were reading, it sounded as though we had fallen into the economic abyss, never to return, or at least not to return, for at least another decade. Going back to 1 year ago, oil prices, per barrel, $87.81. Today, $71.15, a decline in oil prices of 19%. This is a good thing because as oil prices decline, the cost that is passed on to consumers through a variety of products is reduced, and therefore it is stimulative to economic activity. Gold 1 year ago was at $862 per ounce. Today, it's at $1,039 per ounce. Certainly an increase of 20% for those who believe the American dollar will continue to weaken, and perhaps even having a place in many people's investment portfolios. Again, 1 year ago, I summarized that most all-in-one portfolio solutions, whether they be managed by Counsel or CI or Templeton or others, were holding up quite well relative to the broad stock indices. I had also reminded everyone that in the 1990s, the U.S. market had gained 564%, all of which followed a major economic recession. The 2000s have been the complete opposite. An investor, January 1st, 2000, up until now, is still, at best, break-even investing in the American market. This phenomenon is called reversion to the mean, or going back to average in plain terms. Over time, the performance of the market oscillates above and below its long-term average growth. Historically, a 100% stock portfolio over a 10 to 20-year period has averaged about 8.5% to 9% per year. Restated, inflation plus 6%. So this is our outlook. The recession has ended in three major G7 nations, including Canada, France, and Germany. Britain and the United States are expected to emerge from recession by the end of this current quarter, and Japan and Italy should follow shortly thereafter. The world's economic issues have not all been solved, but a floor has been placed underneath the world's economy so that there is support for future economic growth. This, thanks to extraordinary monetary stimulus measures enacted in a globally coordinated fashion amongst both the highly developed G7 nations and the emerging G20 nations, which include China and India. The global economy of 2007 had been artificially inflated by excess credit in the monetary system, and now that this excess has been wrung out, the rebuilding will take some time. Corporate earnings should rebound enough to allow the stock markets of the world to advance, but at a much more moderate pace than we have experienced since the market lows of 2009. Since the market low of March 9, 2009, a blended benchmark index comprised of one-third each in the Toronto Stock Exchange, S&P 500, and Morgan Stanley Index for Europe, Australia, and the Far East, in Canadian dollar terms, has gained almost 50%. Yet, from the pre-crisis highs on December 31, 2007, the market remains 27.5% below that level. So where do you invest in this environment? Both the strategic and tactically managed all-in-one portfolio solutions from Counsel's Portfolio Service have navigated the recent crisis in an effective manner. These portfolios have significantly softened the market declines of the past 21 months. As a result, the most widely held portfolio solution amongst our clients, the Counsel Balance Portfolio, only requires a 6.5% gain from the September 30th, 2009 value to regain the losses caused by the credit crisis. The Growth Portfolio requires about a 13.5% gain, while the Tactically Managed Balance Portfolio, the Counsel Income Managed, is just 2.25% shy of recovering all credit crisis-induced market losses. A stark contrast to the minus 27.5% of the blended benchmark. In fact, if you had invested in the blended benchmark, in order to recover your losses today, you would require a 38% gain. Let me explain this simple concept. If you start with a dollar and you lose 50 cents, you now have 50 cents remaining. In order to get back to a dollar, you need to make a 100% gain on your remaining 50 cents. So a 50% loss requires a 100% gain to go back to breakeven. The greater your loss, the more difficult it is to get back to breakeven. The Counsel strategic and tactically managed portfolios have successfully cushioned the major declines in the global stock markets to allow investors to recoup their capital in a much shorter period of time than the broad benchmark indices, a remarkable achievement. How long will it take for these market losses to be recovered? My educated guess would be that the period for these portfolios to achieve the recoveries will vary from a few months in the case of the Council Income Managed to perhaps 1 year or two for the more equity-exposed Council Growth portfolio. If this occurs sooner, it would be great. But either way, the forward-looking returns in any of these options is likely to greatly exceed your alternatives in bank deposits, GICs, or Canada Savings Bonds. Short-term investment options. Today, savings accounts, even the premium kind like ING and IPC Cash Management, are paying less than 1% per year, and bank accounts are paying next to nothing. For this reason, I have been recommending to those who would like to maintain liquid access to their savings an excellent alternative, a short-term bond portfolio. This type of instrument is currently paying interest of over 3%. For more information, please contact my office to determine if it is suitable for your circumstances. In closing, I would like to thank you for maintaining your conviction and faith in our services during the last 21 months of the credit crisis. During the last 14 months, a handful of clients, overwhelmed by the media circus and gloomy headlines, lost their confidence and moved their assets elsewhere. One individual, enticed by his strong conviction in real estate and a marketing piece that showed a real estate mutual fund with a 10-year cumulative return of 100% with almost no volatility, transferred his account to this, quote, perfect investment about 1 year ago. In looking back, his new investment has since declined 9% in the last 12 months, while his Council portfolio has gained 10% over the same period. As a result, he is almost 20% poorer for chasing past performance and giving up on a well-designed portfolio system. A few others switched out near the market bottom on March 9, 2009, into GICs to lock in rates of 2% per year. Since that time, had they not made any changes, their portfolios would have increased by 38% or better. It will take them 19 years at a 2% annual rate to achieve what it took their previous portfolio to achieve in just the last 6 months. The lesson, once again, is that in the face of fearful media headlines, it is always best to first speak with yours truly before embarking on any changes. There is no such thing as the perfect investment, and a portfolio should always be designed based on your objectives, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. There have been modifications to the Council portfolio process in the last 15 months that have resulted in significant improvement in relative performance against peer groups. To communicate more effectively in the future, I am beginning a conference call program that will allow you to call into a phone number about every other month to hear updated market commentaries and to learn about financial planning issues. Feel free to pass along this CD to a friend when you have finished with it. We would welcome your referrals. I remind you that past performance is not necessarily reflective of future results, and that forward-looking statements in this commentary are not meant to imply any guarantees of future results. I'm John Soutsos. Thanks for your time.
To reach John Soutsos, call 905-568-2000 or toll free 1-888-568-1170. By email, jsoutsos@ipcmississauga.com or visit www.ipcmississauga.com.